Before we jump into our message this morning, we're in our third week in our series, but before we get there, I have somebody I want you to meet. And I'm going to ask Brother Bill, would you come on up here if you would right now? I got a text message from this man last night that he was going to be in church today. And I first met Bill Langston, it was 29 years ago, last week. I met Bill as a nine-year-old boy.
Yep, come on.
I walked into a church in Northern California, and I heard for the first time the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while I was sitting there, it was my wife's dad who was preaching. My mom had some questions about the Bible after church, and she was asking some folks questions, and this was a faithful, at that time, a single man. Now you and your wife are empty nesters.
That's it.
Your children, you've been married. I was at the wedding, been married, and now raised them, and they're both serving the Lord, one in Colorado, one serving in the church in Michigan, and two other daughters that are in Northern California, I think. I'm hard to keep track of where everybody's at, but they're all grown now. And Bill was a single man at that time, faithful layman in the church, drove a bus for the bus routes. And on that day, it was a big outreach day. Bill saw a nine-year-old boy that was a visiting family sitting there. I was sitting right over on this side of the auditorium, the back row of the first section. And he walked up to me and he asked me, if you were to die today, do you know for sure if you'd go to heaven or hell? And I said, I'm not sure. It was the first time I'd ever been in a Bible preaching church in my life. And Bill, 29 years ago last week, led me to Christ. Amen. And I didn't know he was going to be in church today, but I got a text about 9 o'clock last night that he was passing through on the way home.
Yeah.
And I wanted our church family to get to meet. Would you welcome Bill to Liberty Baptist Amen. Church? I love you, my friend.
Amen.
Love you.
Oh, you're awesome. Man.
You're blessed. I'm glad you're here. Bill's always been an encourager of mine. I had some ups and downs in my teen years, and Bill's always been there, been an encouragement to me, a great role model and example in my life, a faithful man. And I remember when my mom, after we got saved, we were in church a while, she married a man, and then a couple years later, they divorced. It wasn't a pretty situation. I remember Bill was there. I now understand a little bit more. I didn't understand back then as an 11, 12-year-old boy why you were there, but you were there to make sure that nothing happened to me or my mom. And I appreciate it. And as we moved out there, Bill was there with his truck to help us move and just been a part of my life. So glad to have you here. Didn't plan to get emotional, but that's all right. God's good to us. All right, into our message. This week, I got out of the office, away from my study, put the books down, put the pen down, pushed away from the keyboard, and I went out to a construction site. I'm not much of a carpenter. I don't know a whole lot about construction, but I was there to visit the construction site, one of our newest members. He's not here today. They're with family out in the Palmdale area today. But Mike Mullinex, they put their son Casey in our school about a year ago. And since that time, Mike has trusted Christ as Savior. He's been baptized. Sits right over here, usually on the front row of that back section there. He and Val, and they've been coming to church just about every Sunday. He said he's going to try to make it tonight if they get back in town in time. But I went to visit Mike. Mike's a superintendent of this job site here, and it was cement pour day. You see the big lift there in the back, and Mike was showing me what he was doing there. He's running this project. They were pouring, I think, about 100 trucks worth of cement that day, and the cost of that project, huge project, well, pretty good sized project, is it's going to be multiple stories. It's going to be living and retail and some different things, and apartments and underground parking. That cost on that project is $12 million. And I was asking him questions. To me, that kind of blows my mind. We have several other men in our church that work in construction and are either run a trade or they're superintendents or foremen or general contractors. And he was telling me about all the different trades involved. And there's the electrical and the steel and the cement and the engineering. And there's going to be framing, of course, and roofing and the finished carpentry. And $12 million, as I looked at that, they're just underground right now. And it's going to go up above ground, but $12 million for that project. And I thought about it as I was preparing for this message when I was looking at that. What if I told you that there was a church building project for a building that was approximately 45 feet long? It's not that long, 45 feet. 15 feet wide with a 15-foot ceiling. You getting the picture of that building? And the bid came in. When they were done, they spent about $57 million on that church building project. 45 feet long, 15 feet wide with a 15-foot ceiling. and about $57 million. That makes our children's ministry wing remodel of about $175,000 sound pretty cheap, doesn't it? And we're $175 to maybe up to $200, depending on where all the final things come in. And that building, that $57 million building, was actually a temporary building. One of the rooms in that building was 15 by 15, but it could only be entered by one person, and they just put the picture up there. That building was designed and commissioned by God. It's the Old Testament tabernacle. If you study through, and if you'll turn with me to Exodus chapter number 35, you study through, and of course, because of the cost of gold and silver, they estimate, if you take all of the values of back then and you estimate what it would cost today, it would probably be about a $57 million building project. The Old Testament tabernacle, that place where the presence of God traveled from place to place as God led his people, the children of Israel. We're going to take a look at the blueprints, if you will, for this building this morning, and we're going to learn some things, I believe, that can apply to our lives as we continue in our series on outward. Our church theme this year is upward and outward. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And we started 3 Sundays ago. We started in outward. The first week was the barn builder syndrome, being outward in our priorities, putting Jesus, God first, others second, us last. And Jesus said to the man that put himself first, "Thou fool," in that parable. You remember that? And we looked at barn builder syndrome 2 weeks ago, being outward in our priorities. Last week, we looked at being outward in our outlook. Missions is our mission, having a heart for the lost and a heart for the gospel. And I'm excited about tonight. We're gonna begin a brand new series tonight entitled Take It Personally, Owning and Obeying the Great Commission. And that idea of having an outward outlook. And I'm gonna equip God's people, Lord willing, through the principles of Scripture with how can we be somebody that shares our faith with others. And it'll be a 4-week series on Sunday nights at 5 beginning tonight. But today, this morning, so we've been outward in our priorities and outward in our outlook. This morning, we're going to look at a message I've entitled, Using Your Earthly Skills for Eternal Impact, Outward with Our Talents. I'm not talking this morning. I think we may have another week that I talk about our spiritual gifts. That's a different thing the Bible teaches in the New Testament than when you're saved and when I'm saved, when we trust Christ as Savior. God gives us one or more spiritual gifts. I personally believe that some of those things, the seeds are kind of there even before you're saved, and God then develops those, and he wants us to use those for his glory, for his kingdom. We're not talking about spiritual gifts today. Again, I think we're going to get there in this series. I think we're going to break down in the New Testament, lay out what those spiritual gifts are. Every Christian should know his or her spiritual gifts, be able to identify those, to be able to use those in the work of God. But today, we're not talking about that. Today, we're talking about what I would call, I guess, our physical gifts or the skills that we have. Every person in this room has God-given talents, God-given skills. Some of them, it's a God-given natural inclination. There are some people have musical minds. God gives them at birth when they're born by age 2 or 3 or 4. They're kind of musical geniuses, and they can hear a song and walk over to the piano and kind of start picking that out. I'm much older than 2 or 3 or 4, and I could never do that in a million years. You could pay me all the money you want. I could sit at the piano all day long. That would never happen. That's a God-given gift, a God-given talent, and that can then, of course, be developed. So sometimes our skills or our talents are a natural inclination, something that God gives us. Other times, they are things that are nurtured through experience. Somebody might have taught you a trade, maybe a vocation, maybe in college, or whatever it might have been, you learned as a child growing up in the family business, and you now have a skill, you now have a talent that was nurtured in your life through experience, through mentors, through classrooms, through study, whatever it might have been, and you maybe had a little bit of a natural inclination, but you have then nurtured that gift and that skill. And this morning, it's a pretty practical message, pretty simple message, but this morning, really the crux of the message is, why do you have those and why do I have those? The earthly skills, the gifts, the talents, whatever, not the spiritual gifts, but kind of those physical gifts, talents, those things that we have that God has given or that we have nurtured and learned, why do we have them? I want to say by way of introduction, they're not just for our good, although many of us, all of us, use our skills and our talents for our gain and our good, and that's okay. But they're not just for our gain and for our good, they're for God's glory. They're to be used. God's plan is for us to use those things with an outward focus. And really, what I want to get as we go through this passage in Exodus chapter number 35, I want you and I want myself this morning to take inventory of the talents, the skills that we possess, and then ask ourselves, how am I using my skills and my talents? Is it all for inward gain? Or is it outward to help others and to impact the work of God for eternity? We're going to read a good bit of scripture today, not all at once. We're going to go back. We're going to stay. Last week, we skipped around to a couple of passages. This week, we're going to stay right here in this passage, Exodus chapter number 35, the blueprints, if you will, for that $57 million building project, the tabernacle, 45 feet long, 15 feet wide with a 15-foot ceiling. And we're going to look here at the blueprints and look at God's plan for his people with how they were to use their skills in an outward manner. And if you don't have a Bible with you, you don't have it, whether it's on an app or you don't have a physical copy, there should be a copy of the Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And I would encourage you to take that and to read along with me. I think you'll see some things. You'll get more out of the message if you do. We're in the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Exodus chapter number 35. Would you begin with me in verse number 4? Let's read that aloud together as a church. Exodus 35, beginning in verse number 4, as we jump into the first point of this message. Ready? Begin. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying. So we see here a couple of things. One, this was God's plan. Two, it was for everybody. The first thought today in using our earthly skills for eternal impact that I'd like to suggest is, number one, God wants everyone involved. God wants, this is something for all of us. God wants all of us. He came and he talked to the children of Israel, and he said he spoke to all the congregation, and he said the Lord has commanded. This wasn't a man's idea. This was God's plan for his people. I want you to use your skills. Now, notice in verse number 5, take ye, what was God's plan? Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. I hear some of you right now, Baptist pastor, always talking about offerings here, talking about money. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood and oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And I want you to see verse number 10, and every wise-hearted among you shall come. And what's that next verb? Shall come and what, church? And make all that the Lord hath commanded. I see here, secondly, in using our earthly skills for eternal impact, number one, not only does God want all of us to be doing that, number two, I see God wants our treasure and our talent. This is not a giving message, and we may get there because giving is a part of the Christian life, and it's a part of God's word, it's part of God's plan for us, but this is not a giving message. What we see here, two verbs. The first one, he said, I want you with a willing heart, let him, verse number 5, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord. That was something we have resources, we're going to share those, but then in verse number 10, he said, every wise son among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. God didn't just want their treasure. He wanted them to use their talent for his glory. Sometimes we can get out of balance on either side of this. Well, I'm willing to serve God, but I'm not going to let go of any of my stuff for God. Or the other side, I'm willing to let go of some of my stuff, but I don't want to use any of my time for anybody else. I want to use it all for me. He wanted both here. God wanted their treasure and their talent. And now I want you to see verse number 11. We're going to read about 10 verses here together. I want you to notice the variety of things that had to be done for the work of God. Verse number 11, after he says, come and make all that the Lord commanded, verse 11, the tabernacle, his tent, his covering, his tashes, his boards, his bars, his pillars, his sockets. This is sounding like a general contractor's list of all the project management, all the things that have to be done. The ark and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering, the table and his staves and all his vessels and the showbread, the candlestick also for the light and his furniture and his lamps and the oil for the light and the incense altar and his staves and the anointing oil. And the sweet incense and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, verse 16. the altar of burnt offering with his brazen gate, his staves and all of his vessels, the laver in his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars, their sockets, the hangings for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle, the pins of the court, their cords, the claws of service, to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. What just happened? Moses is talking to everyone. Again, by way of review, everybody should be involved in God's work is what Moses is saying. Here's what the Lord's commanded. God's given us something to do. We all should be involved. And God wants our treasure and our talent. And then he tells them, number three, just by the way of reading that, we can infer every person has something different that they can contribute. Every person here has something different that they can contribute. And so he teaches and he goes through this long list. I don't know about you, but that list, it's a whole lot of stuff that had to be done for this 45-foot by 15-foot building project. It's a really expensive building with a whole lot of stuff going into it. But just in that list that we read here in this passage, you'll see that of God's people, there were woodworkers and tradesmen and farmers who needed to raise livestock, and you could say a painter or someone that dyed the wall coverings, and business owners and pottery makers and overseers, and there were creative minds. You'll see later in the passage, it said to devise curious works. They had to be creative about how to get God's work done, and there were artists and there were teachers. There were metal workers and sculptors and landscapers and chemists working with different solutions and spices and taxidermists. They had to skin the animals and seamstresses and engineers and bakers and carpenters, general contractors, designers, administrators, managers, jewelers, and the list goes on. And God says, yes, I want you to bring an offering, but I want you to make it. I want you to put your hand to the plow in my work. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to do to use the skills you have for my glory. I want you to use the skills you have to impact your fellow man. This temple is going to change their nation. This temple is going to be a place that they'll come for sacrifice, and it's going to affect millions of their fellow citizens. I want you to do something that's going to help other people draw closer to me. And yes, we should give of our resources and of our finances, but he said, I want it to go beyond that. I want you to use your skills, your trade, your gift. I've given you, some of you it's mental, and some of you it's physical, and some of you it's creative, and some of you have this business that you can use for my glory. And some of we have all these different things. But I want you to use the physical gifts, the earthly skills, for eternal impact. I want you to view what I've given you in an outward way. And as I studied this, I was challenged in my own life. Because God has given me some gifts and skills, and they're different than your gifts and skills. And if I'm not careful, I use them for only, and it's okay to use them for ourselves, but I use them only for my own gain, for my own family, for my own entertainment, for my own pleasure, for my own advancement, if you will. But God said, I gave those to you not just for yourself. You're going to use them to help draw people to me. This place, this building project, was where the very presence of God was going to dwell amongst his people. This is where people are going to meet with God. You are going to use your skills to help bring me closer, to bring people closer to me. God asked them to use his skills for his glory, use their skills for his glory. What about you? I don't know what skills God has given you or God has allowed you to develop. And we could list a long list, whether it's a mechanic or a plumber or crafts, or you're a writer, or a teacher, an electrician, or a woodworker. You're good with decorations or athletics or music or cooking or hosting or the gift of hospitality or whatever it might be. Here's the question, and again, this message, last week we had the longest Sunday morning service of the year, I think. I don't think we have to head that direction this week, but here's the crux of the message. When was the last time you, Janice, who is sitting next to you in church today? What happened to this? I just looked down here. Kevin, you shaved your beard. Well, you can't do that on a Sunday. I have to see you a day before or something. I'm preaching. I'm like, who is this guy? I'm going to tell Kevin someone's sitting by his wife. You shaved your beard. It's gone. Chris, you keeping it? Chris is keeping. What happened, Chris? He left the beard. I'm sorry. That wasn't in the notes. I just looked down here like, what's wrong with this guy? There's something going on there. I don't even know where I was. Oh, that was the crux of the message. Kevin shaved his beard. The altar's open. If God has spoken to your heart, let's do business with God. And The crux of the message, when was the last time you shaved your beard? I just lost it. This service is done. When was the last time you used that skill or that gift to serve others? Are you outward with your talents? Am I out? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. One way we can do that, God gives us opportunity, is to be outward with our talents. Not just to use them for our gain or our glory, but also for God's glory and the good of others. I want you to notice verse number 21. The Bible says, and notice this, how God wants us to give and use our and serve, use our talents. Notice what it says in verse 21. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. Verse 22, and they came, both men and women, as many as were, what's that next word, church? As many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord, and every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins, brought them. Every one that did offer an offering, silver and brass, brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. I want you to notice, and we saw it actually, it's in verse number 5. Verse number 6 says, whosoever is of a willing heart. Here in verse number 21, every man whose heart stirred him up, who was willing. Verse 22, willing-hearted. It says it over and over again. I think it says it again somewhere in the passage later on. I want you to see number 4, and there's only 5 points today, and I'm not holding back a really long fifth one, so don't be scared. But number 4, I want you to see God wants us to willingly give and serve. This idea of being outward with our talents is not supposed to be something that's done out of guilt or out of manipulation, or I'm some great salesman and I can trick you into using your gifts to help other people. It says every man whose heart stirred him up, who was willing-hearted. We ought to serve the Lord. The Bible says we that worship him in spirit and truth, we ought to serve him out of a heart of love. We love him because he first loved us. We help others. It ought not be because I have to do that, or because, well, you know, I'm on staff at the church, so I have to do that. Well, I'm a deacon at the church. Well, I'm a Sunday school teacher, so I have to be I have to work and try to help other people. No, God wants us to willingly give and serve, to willingly use our skills, our gifts for the good of others and for the glory of God. Now, we shouldn't do those things. Oh, I got to get the pastor off my back, or others will think less of me if I don't. We ought to do those things out of love and in obedience to our Lord. Understanding, and when we'll do this, is we understand that skill, that resource, that ability, that treasure, it came from God. It was not ours. He entrusted it to us. And now we understand ownership. We say, okay, God, you gave me this. Now, how can I use it for something beyond myself? Doesn't that go back to the barn builder? He wanted to use everything he had just for himself. There wasn't anything wrong with him being rich. He wasn't called a fool for having barns. He was a fool when he said, I want to have everything for myself. And God said, thou fool, you should have used some of what you had to help others. You should have been outward with your resources, outward with your gifts, outward with your skills. I was told of a large church here in Orange County last year. The pastor was preaching a message on giving. And that pastor, if I understand the story correctly, I was told this by a couple different folks, he challenged the people to be more generous with their resources, more outwardly focused. And he stated that in their church, the middle-class member tended to be more generous by percentage than the wealthy members in that church. That's the story I was told in his message. He made a statement somewhere along the way. He said, a lot of people think this church has been built, talking about this large church in Orange County, been built by wealthy people. He said, we have some very generous wealthy people, but the truth of the matter is that generally the middle-class member here has been more generous by percentage. After that message, he had a man walk up to him and said, Pastor, what's the indebtedness of our church? Pastor said, it's $28 million. And the man said, you'll have a check this week. And he said, well, cool. Like, what do you mean? How much? He said, you'll have a check for all of it this week. You say, Pastor, why do you tell that story? In case that man visited Liberty today. And why do I tell that story? There's a man there who took the challenge to willingly use what he had been given for something beyond himself. I know that I don't have, and you probably don't have $28 million, but you know what we do have? We do have skills. and we do have gifts, and we do have abilities, and we do have talents, and we do have resources that could further the work of God and encourage and help others to draw closer to Him. And again, I'm not that was an illustration about finances. This is more about our lives, a life of service. And every one of us, there's a man in our church that one of his main areas of ministry is that he gives several days per month, very often on average, it's about a day a week, to come down here and do electrical work. And he comes and tries to, the only problem is he's not an electrician, and so he just messes stuff up all the time. No, he is an electrician. But he comes down and he saves the, and his goal and his ministry is to use that skill to save our church thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars every year. And I could go on. There are others like that in our church. We have a man that drives a school bus during the week for his vocation, and he uses that on Sunday to drive a bus to go pick up boys and girls and bring them to church. What is he using? He's using his skill to help bring people closer to God. We have another man that works Monday through Friday. His vocation is as a cook in a nearby restaurant, and he was here yesterday morning cooking breakfast for all of us that met at the Faithfulness Rally as we went to go tell people of Christ and share the love of Christ. What is that? A man that's using his skill for the benefit with an outward focus. And there's a business owner in our church. They run a photography and video and do a lot of weddings, and every video that you see, as far as every week our announcement videos, they use their resources to help the church so that we can get those. And they did a promotional video for our ministry and other things, using their skills in an outward focus. By the way, this is not, I hope you understand my heart, this is not pastors trying to get a whole bunch of free labor. Absolutely not. And we're going to see here in a minute, I'm trying to get us to find the joy and the fulfillment and the significance that's found, whether you use it, maybe at the church, or it might be in your neighborhood, it might be in your community, it might be at work, it might be for a widow lady on your street, but to find the joy and the significance and the fulfillment that's found in using the gifts God has given you outwardly and not all inwardly. We have folks that didn't, there's a lawyer that helped us with legal documents through the construction process, and hundreds of others, and photographers and videographers and web developers and all kinds of things, maybe scores of others, I don't know if it's hundreds of others, but many others that serve selflessly in a variety of ways. And what about you? And there might be some sitting here and say, I hope that guy's listening, because I really, if there's a painter here, I really need my house painted. Maybe Pastor said, you know, you're supposed to be outward with your gifts. That's not the idea. By the way, I never ask somebody if I know that it's their trade. I always ask, and if I ask them to help, very often I won't ask someone within the church, but if I do, always make them allow me to pay them. I'm not going to misuse somebody that's their livelihood, make them take time off from that to try to be a blessing to me or to the work here. Now, but here's the goal. It's not, I wonder who can help me with their skill. It's who can I help with my skill? God wants us to willingly serve and give. God wants us to do those things. I know of a Christian realtor in another church. God's blessed him and given him favor to sell millions of dollars in real estate each year. Does very well for himself. But when I talked with him several years ago, he told me at that time he had made a decision that he was going to tithe to God off of not just his personal income, but his business profit. That was nothing that was preached or told. That was just something God did. And what is he doing? I want to use my personal resources to impact and affect. And for every one of you, that means something different. I don't want to go through that list again, but it's a whole lot of stuff. The beams and the this and the table and the woodworkers and the gold carvers and the animal people and the ones, the showbread and the seamstresses and all of those things. Every one of us, it means something different, but all of us can use our earthly skills for eternal impact. Last place we'll read, verse number 25. I want you to see how God described those that chose to live outwardly with their skills and gifts. Verse number 25. And the women that were, notice what he says, wise-hearted, did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and scarlet, of fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in, notice the word, wisdom, spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a, here it is, willing offering. We just saw that unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded. Notice verse number 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and hath filled him with the Spirit of God in what church? In wisdom in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship. God's given them gifts and skills to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them in the carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach, both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work. Notice verse number 1 of chapter 36. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. They received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought, and they brought, the end of verse 3, they brought him free offerings. It was willing every morning. It was something that they continued to do for the good of God's glory. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work. And Moses, this is amazing, verse 6, probably the only time you're going to hear a pastor say this. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it. So last passage to read, I told you we're going to read a lot of scripture this morning. What just happened there? Did you see the word that was there over and over and over again? Wise. Wisdom. I think as you read it in context, some of those it's talking about an actual trait or skill. They knew an area. They knew how to do something. But it also said somebody that was wise in heart. God called those that sought to live with an outward focus. God described them as wise. And that's the fifth thought this morning. Those who use their skills for something beyond themselves are considered by God to be wise. They were using what God had given them for something that would impact millions of other Israelites. And so the question this morning, what can you do and what can I do? Maybe we can coach a sports team, or maybe we can mow a neighbor's lawn. Maybe we can change the oil in a widow's car. Maybe we can help with a remodel project around the church ministry here. Maybe we could offer to babysit for a friend. Maybe we could install an appliance for a single mom. Maybe we could do a puppet show for a children's church. The lists and possibilities are endless, but I want you to see when everybody jumps in, it's amazing what can be done. A $57 million building project got done, and the leader of the building project said, stop bringing stuff. We have too much. We have all that we need. Why? Because everybody said, I can't do all of it, but I can do that part. And I can do that part, and God gave me this skill. And God gave me this trade, and I have a gift of hospitality. There's a family in our church that I believe they have that gift and that skill. And they've told me, one of our ministries is, Pastor, anytime you want to have a special meal, you invite and ask people to come to our home, and we'll provide the meal for them. And I don't want to take advantage of that, but we've done it a few times, and they have a special gift for that. I don't know what it is for you. It might be you have a mind for numbers. It might be a mathematical mind. It might be you have a mind for building a great business, as we saw here, the owners, and they brought what they had. And I don't know what it is. But here's the challenge. It's not about what you can do. It's about who are you doing it for. God wants all of us involved. He spoke to all the congregation. We all have something different that we can do. God wants it to be from a willing heart, not the pastor made me. Oh, they put that guilt trip on me down there at the church, honey. I got to go down there. And, you know, I volunteered to vacuum the carpets. I got to go down there and do that again. No, God wants it to be from a willing heart. And then God says, when you learn to live with an outward focus, God will describe you as wise. And when everybody jumps in, it's amazing what can be done. You know what I don't notice? You know what I don't notice here? I don't notice any complaining in the children of Israel here. By the way, you say, well, maybe they were just always a happy church and they never complained. I have evidence otherwise earlier in Exodus. They actually liked to complain. They found every reason they could to complain. They complained when Moses has been gone for a month. I don't like that. Let's change religions. And they made a golden calf. Well, I know God brought us through the Red Sea, like, big deal. Like, we're hungry. Well, I mean, I know God gave us manna, but that's not enough. I want some quail. I know God did the 10 plagues and the death of the firstborn, but, like, I'm kind of thirsty. And they complained and complained and complained. You know what you don't see anywhere in the building of the tabernacle? Any complaining. You know what's interesting? When you and I begin to live with an outward focus, that inward analysis and criticism, All of a sudden, it's not, what are they doing that I'm not? And why do they do it that way? And why do that? No, it's just, who can I help? How can I draw somebody closer to God? How can I use what God's given me to bring somebody to Christ? And when that's the focus, when the focus is outward, we have a whole lot less time to be analyzing and criticizing and complaining about what God did or didn't give us. It's been said that it's hard to rock the boat if you're busy rowing. And for you and for me, when we have an outward focus, it's very likely we're not going to be criticizing Moses or our fellow church member or those around us. Or why did they, why does it have to be gold? I don't understand why. I like bronze better. Well, I like platinum. And no, just, here's what I can do. I've got these animals and I can use this for the work of God, and I've got this and I can help other people come closer to God. If you are giving and serving, you will be spending a lot less time criticizing and analyzing what everybody else is doing. So let's review. Number one, I said this morning that God wants everybody involved using their gifts in an outward manner. Number two, God wants our treasure and our talent, bring and make. Number three, every person has something different they can contribute. Number four, God wants us to willingly give and serve. Number five, when we do, God describes that as a wise use of our lives. You say, well, maybe that was just the plan for the tabernacle. I'm not going to go there, but if you want to jot in your notes, you can go read it. It was the exact same plan that God gave for the building of the temple in 1 Chronicles 29. All the artificers and builders, everyone that knows how to do this and this and this, bring what you have and let's work together for the glory of God. And then when the temple fell into repair, that was with David in 1 Chronicles 29. When the temple fell into repair in 2 Chronicles 34 under the reign of King Josiah, you can read it. In 2 Chronicles 34, you know what the plan was? Hey, let's get everybody doing what they can do. Everybody has a gift and a skill. We can get this thing back working so that people can know there is a God in Israel. The whole point is not for my glory. The whole point is not to build a kingdom here. The point is that Orange County might know that there is a God in Orange County. And so when you go to your corner of Orange County and I go to my corner of Orange County, I want to use my skills to try to impact my neighbor, my coworker, and at the restaurant. And I want to share the love of Christ and maybe stop and do a random act of kindness. And I find out there's somebody in the church that has a need, and I know how to do that. I'm going to go over there and try to help them. And there's something at the church that needs to be done. I'm going to try to do that. You say, well, maybe that's just in the Old Testament. The exact same principle is found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, when the Bible likens the church to a physical body. And what does he say? Every one of us has a different role, a different ability, a different skill that we must be involved in if God's work is going to be healthy. The Bible calls the church, likens, uses the analogy of a physical body. It uses the body parts. It says some people can see, some can hear, some are the hands, some are the feet. We all have something different to do, but all Old Testament, New Testament, God's principles are the same. You have a role that only you can play. You have gifts that I've given you. You have skills that I've given you. Are you using them to help people and to bring glory to God? To do a work that's going to help bring people closer to me. We won't go there, but the rest of Exodus is an interesting read. It's a whole lot of details about a construction project. Four more chapters, and they give every detail of how they were going to build it and the blueprints and the plans. They don't talk about the city inspectors, but I'm sure they came in some point and messed everything up. I think I just met John. You were an inspector, building inspector at one time, I think, right? And we need those. They, of course, make sure that the building's going to stand when we're done. But we see the rest of Exodus, it tells in detail how they followed God's plan and willingly used their earthly skills for eternal impact. You know what happened? An entire nation was impacted. God was pleased, God's people were helped, and God's will was accomplished. So this week, I told you it was a simple, practical thought, but here it is. This week, how will you use your gift? It might be a gift of encouragement. It might be it might be something you can do for. How will you use your gifts and your skills, not inward, but outward? Who can I touch? Who can I help? Who can I impact? How can I make a difference for God's glory and for the good of others with what God has entrusted to me? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Lord, I pray that these simple thoughts would be a help and an encouragement to your people. Lord, as we looked here at Exodus 35 and the first few verses of 36, and then we see it over and over again that God, your plan is that all of us ought to willingly give of what we have for your glory, but then God, beyond that, we ought to give of what we know, give of what we can do, and take the gifts, the talents, the skills that you've blessed us with so that others might know more of God. I pray this week that, Lord, I could have listed a long list of things, but God, I pray that, as it said in this passage, that every man's heart would stir him up. That God, today your Holy Spirit would stir up thoughts that I never would have listed. An idea that I never would have been able to think of or give because it's not in my skill set or my on my radar. But God, I pray that as the children of Israel, as they heard from Moses, and then God, their heart stirred them up to willingly seek to use what you've given them. I pray the same thing would happen here today. In my life, in my family's life, and in the life of every family and member and person of this church sitting here under the sound of my voice. God, it might be somebody that's an accountant. It might be someone that's white collar, blue collar, a business owner. I have no idea what you want to do. Might be a teenager. Might be a child. But God, I pray that each one of us would be sensitive and really take inventory. How are we using our gifts and our skills outward? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand together as the piano begins to play. The altar is open. This is a time of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart and maybe you want to come and commit to God. God, I want to use what you've given me for your glory. If you're visiting here, or maybe you're here for the first time and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you have a special prayer request you'd like somebody to pray with you about, we'd invite you to slide out of your seat right now and come forward and let one of our pastors talk with you. Have a man talk or pray with a man, a lady with a lady. If you have any questions about salvation, eternal life, heaven, hell, what is all that about? We won't tell you what our church believes. We'll tell you what the Bible teaches. And we won't tell you. We'll show you. We'd be honored to do that. As she plays the stanza this morning, let's spend some time in prayer. And would you take that challenge that I've taken today? How are we going to love our neighbor as ourselves? Let's seek to be outward with our talents, using our earthly skills for eternal impact. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be in your house. And God, I realize that, Lord, the message I preach today, there are many, many, many in this room that are living exactly what I've preached, seeking to use their gifts to impact others. But Lord, all of us at times, we can grow selfish. Our vision can turn inward. And Lord, we just want what's good for us. I pray that today, maybe for some of us, the reset button would be pressed. Others might have seen something in Scripture that would challenge us. I have something that can benefit the work of God. Lord, help me to use it for you. I pray these things in Christ's name.